Okay, good evening, everybody. This is the Monday night NLA call, live call-in. It is October 24, 2022, and we're a little late. It's 9:28 p.m. We've had a lot of technical difficulties. I don't know if John will be in here or not. He's going to try, but if he is, then he can pipe in. I don't know. There's so much going on. I didn't really get a program going. John and I went to the, and Jan actually also went to the Wake Up America tour. Met a lot of good people, a lot of good presenters. You know, General Flynn and Charlie Ward and Mel Kay and I don't know who, all kinds of big names. And we handed out a lot of books, and John printed like, almost, I think, 3,000 flyers. I think he handed out over 2,000, 2,500 maybe. So I don't know what will happen with that. We will see what happens. You know, we're trying to wake people up. There was over 3,000 people in this room that we were in. I think that's what they said, wasn't it, Jan? 3,000 people? I'm pretty sure. And it was good. It was rah-rah shish kabob. It was some information that was given out, but it was good to see what's going on, and it's good for our exposure to us. We're looking for some interviews or to interview some people also. So we're hoping that will break something loose for us. You know, General Flynn is up there going, you got to do something. You got to get involved. But he's really not telling people what to do. People need what our program is. That's what they need to do. And that's what I told them when I handed that flyer out that John printed out, that, you know, this is the answer to General Flynn's do something. You know, committees of safety, sheriffs. And you're starting to hear that a lot, even in these other presenters, these other guys that have their own channels. And what they're saying is, look, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, even if Trump gets put back in, that's not going to be what saves us. What saves us is us doing the work on our county level, because these rotten bastards have gotten into the county and town level. So basically, that's why George Soros spends over $2 million getting an Arizona sheriff elected, because he knows that guy had the ability to shut down the election fraud. So George Soros knows the power and authority of the sheriff. It's a shame that they don't know their own powers and authorities. And that's what John's book, Government by Consent, lays out really clear, you know, and it bullet points his authorities and his duties too. That he has duties as well as, you know, authorities. So that's what our mantra has to be. And, you know, we also talked about getting curriculum in the school. And I was pleased to hear many of the presenters planning to do something with curriculum for our school children, or our college, you know, our universities and our grade schools and preschools. But especially, you know, the high schools and the colleges and things, that's where these kids get lost. That's where they really, really lower the boom and ruin them as Americans. It's been going on for years, and it has to stop now. You know, we don't need all this baloney that's going on. We don't need our children being taught, you know, this woke ideology about, you know, you can pick your gender. And it's really gotten horribly bad, worse than you can imagine. Unless you're in the field, you don't know it. You know, we have horror stories from parents and school boards. And of course, you know, the Biden government, which goes is facilitating this, because, you know, look at the parents stand up at school board meetings and say, you're not going to teach my kids that. And they get put on an FBI list. The FBI is complicit and actually treasonous in some of the things that they do with this whole thing, because they've obviously been compromised. And so that's another problem that needs to be taken care of. However, I think that We're going to see some changes very soon. I'll be very, very surprised, my opinion anyway, and it, well, it's not just mine, it's others, but in my humble opinion, I don't see how they're going to have an election come November 8th or whatever it is, because they didn't fix anything. And who's going to trust those results? As a matter of fact, last week, there was a Chinese company that's bigger than the company that you hear about all the lawsuits with there, Dominion. This is a Chinese company that was hooked into all the data that came from all the machines and sent it directly to China. I mean, is that crazy or what? And this is irrefutable evidence. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is hardcore, hard evidence that they've collected on all. They have it all. They have every last bit of this. And the FBI has been sitting on it because they're compromised. And you know, and the CIA, forget about it. I mean, the CIA is supposed to be there for this foreign interference in our government. So essentially, we had an attack. We had a major attack. This is actually World War III. We're at war, even though there's no bombs flying yet. But hopefully there won't be at all, but I can't promise you that. The deep state is getting very desperate. They're broke. A lot of what Trump did in his first term took out their money, and it's still going on. It's still happening. I don't know if you know it or not, but the two biggest corporations in the world that run most of the other corporations, BlackRock and Vanguard, have both filed for bankruptcy. I don't know. Now, do you see that on the news? That is major, major news. I bet you haven't heard a peep about it, have you? You might hear it on the alternative news, but you're not hearing it on NBC and CNBC or anything like that, I don't think. And, they want to arrest Trump. That's part of their plan because they're desperate to have to shut him up. He's out there really, really attacking them hardcore. And I'm going to tell you, when an ex-president or you know, you can argue is he ex, is he still in, he never conceded, blah, blah. But even, okay, Biden won. We'll give him that. Biden won, we'll say. You know, he's the president that the Congress and the Senate have accepted. They approved it, albeit, you know, treasonous, even though they had evidence. So they've all committed treason in their own right. But if you have an ex-president that stands up at a rally or something and he says, you know I'm the rightful president, you know you guys stole the vote, so you should just put me back in. Or if you won't do that, put me on the 2020 election, which he knows full well that there's no provision that they could do that. There's nothing in that would take such an extraordinary, you wouldn't be able to put him on a ballot the way he said it. He's just taunting them. He's ticking them off. And so when he says stuff like that, that January 6th committee that's looking at him that wants to subpoena him and arrest him and put him in jail, and they want to send him to Gitmo and hang him, they've said as much. They've actually said that. They want to send him to Gitmo and hang him. They hate him because he's single-handedly, you know, he's the face of the resistance to the plans that they want so bad, that they came so close to taking us all out, between the Trojan horse vaccination to kill, you know, 13 out of 14 people, to the election fraud and the economy falling. Everything was in place to have America go down the memory hole. But because he stood in the gap, they haven't done it. But when he stands up at a rally and says that is seditious, and that is insurrection on his part. Because if it's not true, they can arrest him just for saying that. He's standing up in front of a crowd of thousands of people saying, I'm your real president. He could be arrested just for that. And he did it purposely. Because he knows they want to arrest him. And he's basically telling them, come on in and arrest me. Go ahead. As a matter of fact, there's a really good video with Juan O'Savin. I forget who he interviewed. I don't know if Holly's here, but he gives the whole beautiful metaphors about the bullfighter, that Trump is like the bullfighter. And in a bullfight, the matador wears the bull down. And look, at a bull comes in, he's all power. That's what bulls are, very powerful, very dangerous, very fast. But they're not built for the long run. They don't have the stamina to go, you know, round after round. As a matter of fact, in a bullfight, they time it, and they don't let it go longer than would be fair for the bull. But what the matador does is he keeps stabbing at the bull, poking at the bull. And eventually, the bull's head comes down, 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 down. And what he's waiting for is that bull to charge him with his head down and tired, where he can take the sword and plunge it between his shoulder blades through the heart. And if he misses and he hits the spine, he's a dead man, because that bull's going to turn around and take one of them horns and just gut him with it and throw him over his back. And usually in a bullfight, when they're doing this, the matador will get down on his knees on that last attack, very close to the ground, because that causes the bull to keep his head lower longer, where he can actually get the shot to stick the sword in. And so that's what Trump is doing. He's taunting the bull, getting ready to stick the sword in. You know, in spades, the Trump card is the ace of spades, and that's the kill card. That ends the game. Isn't it funny that his name is Trump? And that's exactly what he's playing. He's playing that game, and he's got the Trump card. And when he puts that sword in, that bull, who is the New World Order, will be dead. But that's not, you know, that's going to be the beginning of the end. That's going to be where everybody realizes exactly what, you know, what this evil beast is, this Leviathan. And that's when we're going to stand there and go, is this the one we were afraid of? Is this the man? He's not a man. This is the demon. And everybody's going to look at that one that they worshipped with scorn. And, you know, Juan O'Savin makes a very good comparison or metaphor. He said, look at the devil, God cursed him and turned him into a snake. So he had no arms and no legs. But when he comes back, in the end, what is he? What's his depiction? He's a dragon. And a dragon has arms and legs, doesn't he? Well, guess what? The arms and legs of the dragon, that's the people that do his will. The devil can't do these things by himself. He has to talk people into doing them for him. So he gets in their minds and their brains, and they do his will. So that dragon would have no power if he didn't have men selling their souls to him. So we, when we fall, are his arms and legs, technically. So, you know, it's the season that we're in. I don't know the day or the hour, but I do know the season is here. And so you better be ready. And I'll tell you, the one thing you should look for is when they come out to arrest Trump. And if they arrest him, and I think he wants that, they're going to put him under house arrest. They're not going to put him in a jail. I don't think that they would ever allow that to happen, because they wouldn't be able to protect him in a jail. So they're gonna put him under house arrest, maybe put an ankle bracelet on him and lock Mar-a-Lago down, where he can have no communication coming in or out. And actually, I do believe that that's part of the plan. I do believe that the White Hats and Trump want that, and I think the reason they want that is because there's so much, this whole thing that's going down, it's not just about America, it's going down worldwide. We have China, we have Russia, we have, you know, all the states, all the countries in this together. And when this evil goes down, when this new world order goes down, it's going to go down worldwide. This is a global thing. So, and the reason Trump wants that is because if he's under their guard and he has no communication going in or out, it insulates him in as far as them accusing him of picking up the phone and calling Putin or calling Z or calling one of the other words and doing and planning an insurrection or whatever, you know, colluding with them. He's going to say, hey, you had me locked down. You know what? You can't blame me. I was in here under house arrest. So I think that's part of his plan, that to get them to do that. And they keep, you know, he sets traps, and they seem to not be able to resist going for them hook, line, and sinker. And I think that that's divine intervention. I think that they've been blinded, that they can't really see the long picture here, because they just can taste what they want that they've been working on for over 100 years, since the Garden of Eden, really. But recently, the last 100 years has been a whole lot of victories for them, and they've had their way, and they've basically, you know, they've really wounded this country, this country that was founded under the God of nature, and nature's God. It's only the second country in the whole world in all of time that was that way, and that's America. And it was the Mosaic, the Jews of old. That's what they were founded under. And the next one was America, and America was founded under that God, that Judeo-Christian God. And you know, we have. Ten Commandments, you know, that used to be in our courts, in our Supreme Courts, and what they used to teach in the schools, morals, you know, they basically demoralized the country, which is, you know, there's nothing that's a mystery here. I forget the name of that Soviet defector back in the 50s that came over here. And he laid out all the steps for taking over a country, and I think there was like 10 steps or whatever, but basically we've gone through fully 8 of them. They've done already, and so we're there. We're right there right now. So I don't know. I'm not going to say exactly when things are going to happen, but I'm going to tell you that you're going to be able to tell by what goes on in the nation. And I know people are talking about, you know, the communications going down, and that could happen. And they're also talking about an emergency broadcast system that they're going to put on. They're going to take over all the stations, and they're going to run a documentary on how we got where we are today. And basically, what they're looking for is, they didn't want to do this until they had 80% at least or more of the people understanding why and how come they're doing it, you know, because they know that it doesn't matter how right you are, how righteous you are, and even how strong you are, if you don't have public sentiment, you have nothing. And I think, I don't know if I've talked about that on here before, but Lincoln was a good example of that. Because when Lincoln got elected into the presidency, you know, look at our forefathers always knew that slavery was going to have to be put down. And the only reason they didn't do it right then and there, they did say all men are created equal. They didn't say except the slave, except the Negro, except, you know, wasn't back then, you know, everybody thinks it was just Negro slaves. That's not true. There were Irish slaves. There were all kinds of other nationalities. It's just that the black slave worked good in the sun, and the Southerners had the cotton, and you couldn't take a bunch of a lot of Irish people and Anglo-Saxon people were slaves, but they didn't hold up in the sun. Matter of fact, the whole D&H Canal up through here was all white slaves that they never talk about. That wasn't black slaves. I mean, I'm not saying there was no black slaves, but the majority of it was Caucasian. So, anyway, they knew that slavery had, it was abhorrent to our way of life, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence. It could not stand. And so when Lincoln came into office, there was a lot of people that supported him that were terribly upset that he didn't right away sign the Emancipation Proclamation. And he wrote a paper And I, if I someday we should, I don't know if John has put this up on our site or not. He talks about, he wanted to do it, but he knew that it was very unpopular in with certain people, and that he would lose a lot of support. And he made a statement that, look, if you have public sentiment with you, even if what you're doing is wrong, it will stand. Or if you don't have public sentiment, it could be as right as rain, but it won't stand. So he knew he could not sign that Emancipation Proclamation until a couple things came into play. And the big one was public sentiment. He needed public sentiment on his side. And of course, we were in the middle of the Civil War, and people say, oh, it was a political thing to end the Civil War. Well, what happened is he had a presidential authority. He had a situation where he had the specific powers, just like Trump exercised these presidential powers, and they're usually admiralty military powers. And so it was a perfect storm, and the time was right, and public sentiment was ready to end slavery, and that's when he signed it. And that's why it held up, and that's why that was a success. Of course, he got killed for it. They killed him just like they kill, any other person like Kennedy that was working, that was going to put an end to this new world order, which was started way back when. And then you hear these things about Q and this and that. There was Q. That was from the Civil War, from the Lincoln's day. That's the first time they had somebody called Q that was speaking in code to the people. This is nothing new. Got to study history. Our forefathers told us that, I know no other way to light my feet than the lamp of history. If you ignore history, you're going to repeat the mistakes. And so our forefathers were very, very aware, very keen on that. And they were so far ahead of us in their intellect. I mean, they knew what this was going to lead to if they didn't, Jefferson, he claimed that the judiciary would be the country's downfall, that they would get to make the Supreme Court too powerful and this and that. And Washington, he thought the parties were going to be the end of America, that they would take the reins of power into their hands and steer us away. Well, it turns out they were both right, because that's exactly what happened here. Our judiciary got too powerful. They ignored the Constitution. They put in the Rules Enabling Act. They operate by rules. Who writes those rules? I mean, you see this with the World Economic Forum and all. They say, oh, we need a rules-based. Whoa, rules-based. Who's making the rules? We have rules. The rules are from the laws of the God of nature and nature's God. There's our rules. And if it goes against that, then it doesn't stand. It's as simple as that. It's right. We take an oath to the Constitution, not to a man, not to which says that all the things that it says, that all men are created equal. I mean, every other type of government, whether it's a monarchy or a dictatorship or whatever, they take an oath to a man. And the trouble with men is men are not perfect. And men can fall, and men can be bribed, and men can be honeypotted, Nobody as strong as you might think you are, believe me, there is something there that the devil can use on you that could get you. And don't think that you're above that, because that's the pride that goes before the fall. And that's exactly what he's been doing for years, for generations and generations. He's been tempting men and making them fall, and those men end up being his arms and his legs. Because without them, he wouldn't be able to do anything. He does it through men cooperating. He promises them things. He took Christ up to that mountain and he said, bow down and worship me. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, and I will give you all of these. Now, he couldn't offer him that if he wasn't controlling them. Think about that. How could the devil offer Christ all the kingdoms of the world unless he had control of them? And he does. He does, because men, he has a certain hook to be able to tempt and take truth and wrap it with lies and make it look good. And it tastes good, but then after you swallow it, it gets bitter in your stomach. And that's exactly what he did with Eve, and he's been doing it with men all along, you know. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now. I mean, you talk about interesting times. My goodness gracious, I didn't think I would ever live to see these days, and I just hope that I live to see the end of them before I die or get killed or whatever. I mean, we have. Look at what we're going through. This whole pandemic thing, and that was all a put up deal. I mean, if you don't know it, then you're not looking in the right places and listening to the right people. The whole COVID thing was a hoax, whether you know it or not. There was no such thing as COVID-19. Yeah, there was something called COVID-19 that they created in a lab, but even that. They've always been trying to make a pathogen that would wipe out the world, and they've never quite been able to do it because God's immune system is better than that. And so what they got to do is they got to lower our immune system by feeding us garbage, lowering the standards of the food and the chemicals that get put in it. But more than that COVID-19, unless you had a co-committing thing like diabetes or that, and I mean there's a lot of that because we're all obese in America, and we got a lot of diseases that are self-inflicted through our diet. So yeah, if you had those type of things, it would you would you'd succumb, and you'd get into that it would get into your lungs and it would kill you. Well, the flu kills millions of people every year too. But what they did this time that was different, they created this big scare with, oh, COVID-19, and they talked about it. They talked about it for a couple of years before it came, and because they knew, because they were planning on it, and so they talked everybody into taking this Trojan horse shot that was actually the bioweapon. So that spike protein that they put in the shot, that was the Trojan horse. That's what's killing everybody. And that just attacks any place that you're weak. It's bioepigenetics. Your genetics are important, but your epigenetics are more important than your genetics. What epigenetics is, and is that, look at, you have certain genes. You're born with certain strengths and certain weaknesses. What determines what comes out in you, the strength or the weakness, is your environment. So, environment determines what part of your heredity is expressed. So, if you don't take, and your environment is things like your diet and your air and the lifestyle that you live. That's your epigenesis. That's what's gonna if you have a weakness towards lung cancer or liver problems in your family, that's built into your genes. It doesn't mean that you have to get liver problems, but what it means that if you don't take care of yourself, that's probably what you'll end up because you have a predisposed weakness to that. Well, this shot that they're giving is opportunistic to that. You're gonna see cancers that we've never seen before. I mean, we've seen them, but they've never run rampant like this, and they're never going to tell you that that's the result of that shot, that bioweapon, that Trojan horse that they gave everybody. And it has a 10-year lifespan. So if they don't take any more, if you don't die within the first three, a lot of people are going to die within the first 3 years, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, Judy Mikovits says, well, you can do this, and that, and but Sherry Tenpenny put a good video out, and she said, listen, you should be doing all those things that fix your environment. You should be taking your supplements every day and trying to build your body up. She said, but if you took that shot, she said, you have that DNA, that RNA in you, and there's no way to get it out. She said, you screwed up. Basically, you took the mark of the beast, and you need to repent because your only hope at this point, after that, is that God heals you, that He performs a miracle. And there's people out there that have been healed, that have had spontaneous healings, and it's not explainable. And I do believe it's because of their faith. And so they had a type of a faith healing. But I'm telling you, if they stop the shot tomorrow, and they haven't yet, it's disgusting to me that they want to give it to these children. They want to get it on. You see, they need to get it on the vaccine schedule, because if they don't, they can't fall under this program of not being able to have, where they're not responsible for anything because they made a deal with the government. They said, "Well, we're not going to make these vaccinations unless you take the liability on." So that's why they want to get this shot put on the vaccine schedule. There is no, you know what? They tested, I think it was 8 mice to get this emergency use thing. 8 mice to give this to infant children. It's the most ridiculous. It's child sacrifice. It's the sacrifice to Moloch. In back in biblical days, the Jews even did it. They were convinced to do this, to sacrifice their babies to Moloch, that big statue that they start a fire in, and then they laid a baby on his hands and they roast him, and the baby would scream, and they do thousands of them. Well, guess what? We've been doing that underground and in the abortion clinics, and they've been selling baby body parts and all this other disgusting stuff, and they've been using adrenochrome. It's more rampant today during modern times than it was in biblical times. This is beyond anything. That's why we are where we are, because I believe they finally scratched the eyeball of God, and he's his arm is in motion to swat them away, and they're going to be done, because enough is enough, and that's what we're experiencing today. Let me
And
see
all the
here.
mice died.
All the mice died. Thank you, Terry. I didn't even realize that. Oh, we tested on 8 mice. They all died. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know. Pipe right in if you want to have something. I actually wanted to bring out some of this stuff, but you see, I don't have it on the front of my computer. I want to play some of the excerpts of O'Savin's interview, because it was good. It was very good. So anyway, everything that we have put into place to do, we're still doing, because it is more valid and more pertinent now than it's ever been. So don't think that we don't have to do these things that we've been working on, because look at, they're gonna come in and they're gonna do a purge. And it's going to be a military operation. There is no political solution to this. There's too many compromised judge, prosecutors, politicians. You know, everybody's on the take. I don't know if you remember when Pompeo talked to the, they had a meeting, the Board of Governors, with all the governors in it. And Pompeo went there and he said, "Listen, you guys, we know who you are. We know who's taking China money." And basically, it was 95% of them have been bribed, taking money for China from China to do China's bidding, and that's why we're so bad. So you don't, your governors have already bastardized themselves. You can't depend on them. I don't care what you think they are. They've made sure that they got them to where they have to do stuff. They've either compromised themselves by taking money, or they've compromised themselves by letting themselves be put into a position where they could get blackmail stuff on them. So this is never gonna go out of here by taking them to court in this climate. And then when they go, look at 90-something% of the Congress and Senate are going to be gone, because they've all been compromised. And so what are we going to have? We're going to have a vacuum. So it's up to us, people, the people, we the people, to make sure that we put in good representatives that are going to uphold the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. If we don't do that, we'll be in the same condition in less than 5 years, I can guarantee you. People will be taking bribes and doing what they're doing, and you know what I mean? And so And you know, really, we've written so much at NLA, and we have so much of this laid out and how to do it from all the different levels. You know, they want you to believe that your only interface in the to the government is the voting booth. Well, imagine that. Imagine that. They got inside all the voting booths. And then besides getting in the voting booths, they also did this whole paper mail-in absentee ballot, because they could stuff the boxes, so they, you know, they didn't want to take any chances on losing. That's what happened with Hillary. Trump won because he overwhelmed them, and they didn't have enough in place. You could see the votes going backwards with their stupid machine, but even that wasn't enough. You know, and Trump overwhelmed them, and he got enough votes the Electoral College to win. So this next time when he ran, they were going to make sure that was never going to happen again. And so Zuckerbuck's there. He put all those boxes out everywhere. That wasn't him. That's not his money. That whole Facebook thing was a CIA program called LifeLock, and they gave it to him because they caught him doing some stuff, and they got him working for them, and he ran it. And you know, LifeLock was a CIA program to try to get information on everybody and keep track of it. And when they turned it into a social media platform, they got more information than they could ever get on people, ever, because people just told on themselves. I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You pull up somebody's Facebook account and you can tell. I mean, these people, they're tracked every minute of every day. They put everything on there. Their whole life is on there. I mean, if you want to draw up a profile, you can't do better than what the people have given them on their own. It's disgusting. So, you know, so he put those boxes in because they told him to. He spent $4 million because they made him the billionaire that he is. He's at their beck and call. He cannot refuse them because he's one of theirs. He's one of their guys. You know, another one of their guys. So, anyway, let me see here. I don't know how many people we have. Did we turn on the questions? Let's see here. We got 34. Let's see.
Yeah, did you want me to turn on the queue?
Yeah, let's turn on the queue and see. If you got a question or something that you want answered, like we normally try to do, get in the queue now. And
Jen might have a question or two.
Let me get into the queue. It says queue is live. Okay, so there's nobody in the queue right now.
No, I just turned it on. So okay, I might tell people, you know, if they can hit *6 or... was it *61 to get in the queue?
Right. Yeah, we got John.
You now have John in Michigan in the queue.
What'd you say? Jan had a question?
I thought Jan had a question, yes. But oh. I could be wrong.
Well, Jan, if you can hear, and you can come in anytime you want, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna see what John from Michigan wants, and I'm going to open him up. Okay, John, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You know, I knew Bob Obergeoisie up here in Michigan, but whatever like that, and he said a lot of stuff was going to go on. Where do you guys get your information on all these inevitable or?
Well, I get it a lot. I subscribe to a lot of different sources, and what we have done. Look, we're on the internet all the time for many years, and you have certain people that you learn to trust because they make predictions and they come true. You know what I mean? So I have my certain favorites, and they're not always right. Don't get me wrong. But what happens is when you have 10 or 20 different platforms that you trust, and there's a thread running between all of them, you can pretty well figure that that's the truth. I mean, I will never give a date. I will never say something is definitely going to happen because, you know, I mean, death and taxes are anything that are sure, and even that's not sure. So we have a lot of different sources for that, and some are better than others, you know. I mean, this thing we went to this weekend was really good because there were people there in the know. I mean, that Anon that John put his stuff up, he's got very high people in the government telling him what's going on. And then you got the ex-Special Forces guy. What was his name? Oh, my goodness, I have a senior moment here. Is it Johnson? Jeez.
I'm not sure.
But he's laying out what he knows to be true in a military perspective. You see, people don't understand how the military operates, its signs, its symbols, its language, its communications, its comms. You know, in the military, you can communicate by flags. It's called semaphore.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody puts up a certain flag, it means a certain thing. It's just like when a ship used to come at you, if it had a pirate flag, you knew they were coming to attack you. And that's where we get the term false flag from, because they would lie. They'd put up like a British flag, and then they'd take it down. But anyway, there's communications in lots of different forms, and the military has its own. And so that Derek Johnson lays out all the different things. If you're in the military, especially if you were somebody like a Marine or whatever, you would know. That you don't look at. I don't know if you watched any of those tapes of the Anon, have you, that are on our site?
I don't. I'm just never listening on the phone, but I did listen to one. He was talking about the salutes and stuff like that. They were going to Trump and to Biden. And I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I mean, I was down in Washington on the 6th, and I can tell you this: that nothing that they said happened. Happened the way they said it happened. I know that. I mean, and I talked to a lot of people saying they were talking about the 6th. And I said, well, where were you down there? Well, I wasn't down there. So I was. I know exactly what was on down there, and it's sure as heck not what they're putting on the media. But I guess my questions are, you know, shortly after January 6th, when Biden supposedly was put into office like that, everybody was saying, you know, yeah, but May and then June and then July, and then that's been a year ago in July now. And I mean, and Biden's still in office, and I guess they're biding their time. I guess I'm just being impatient.
Well, if you would have listened to Derek Johnson and the other guy, the Anon, he tells you timetables that you don't know anything about because it's in the law of war manual. When Trump handed that off to the military, there were certain things that set into motions. There were, you know, the military had so much time to investigate it, and then they had another 45 days to investigate it, and then another 45 days to present it, and ultimately it would be at least a year before they got through everything insurrection or devolution or whatever that, and these things were put in by Kennedy and by the continuation of government, and some of them went back to Lincoln, these powers of the executive department, and it was designed for this exact situation when we were taken over by an enemy within. And if you're in any kind of military special sources or Marine Corps, that this was all, a lot of it was done without the generals being privy to it. It was done amongst the enlisted men. It was due to be done amongst the sergeants and the drill instructors and that, to give these guys a foundation so that if they ever got taken over on the top, these guys would know what the deal was and how to resist an illegal order and what the procedure was. And so it really was carried more by the enlisted men and not so much by the officers. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were officers and there were even generals that were privy to that. But it was handed to the men, to the soldiers, to the boots on the ground, by their their sergeants and the guys that actually run this stuff. So anyway, everything, there's nothing woo-woo. This is all documented. You could go see it all. So when he tells you, look at those soldiers, they had their back, they didn't salute him, they had the wrong uniforms on. You don't do that in the military. That will get you kicked out. That will get you court-martialed. And for them to stand there on television and have bivouacs on or some crazy uniform instead of what they're supposed to have on, if you're a military guy, you go, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean? It didn't mean anything to the average person in the street because we've been dumbed down. And you know, years ago, people knew more about what the military did because we had wars and everybody served in them. And so there was a little more common knowledge in the public. Well, there's not too much of that left anymore. So you listen to them guys and listen to what the clues that he gives you, you're convinced that look at Trump got a full military inauguration ceremony. He got the hail to the chief. He got the 21-gun salute. He got the red carpet rollout. He came on Air Force One and he left on Air Force One. What happened with Biden? Biden got the funeral march. He got the salute for a dignitary taking position on a foreign soil, which is Washington D.C. These are clues that if you're in the military, you're going to know. You're going to know these things. So basically what they did is they swore Biden in as a foreign dignitary on our soil. Well, not on our soil, but on a foreign soil, which is Washington, D.C. And if you don't know this stuff, it's like it goes over your head. You never even seen it. So the average person didn't understand what was going on there. And you know, they didn't. Did you know that the salutes were wrong, that the gun salutes and the bullet and all that? That's all very precise things that happen at ceremonies. Plus, he was sworn in at the wrong time. The Constitution says at 12:01. He was a half hour late. That nullifies that ceremony right there. You can't do that. It's specific things that have to happen in order for this to be valid. So there were words said, but then there were the signs and the signals were screaming louder than the words, you know.
All so, I know is I was down there on January 6th. I never wanted to go down to Washington D.C. I went down to Washington D.C. on January 6th, and I'm telling you, I couldn't get out of that city fast enough. That gave me the weebie-jeebies down there.
Well, I know that feeling, and you're lucky you didn't end up in jail or something because that's what happened, you know.
Well, I know one lady was down there,
people in the Congress and the Senate, guess what? They got scared. They got scared of Trump. That's why they hate him so much, because he had more people amassed there than they could ever hope to get. I mean, if Trump said, I'm the real president, let's go in and do it, there would be nothing they could do. There would have been the Civil War right there. But he couldn't do that. He couldn't do that because it wouldn't work, because it would have created a horrible, bloody situation that would not be over for many, many years. So what he did was he backed off. He never conceded. But he did shut his mouth on a lot of things. Now he's opening it up pretty wide. Because now the time is right, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I mentioned this. I wrote a memo kind of when I got back to Michigan. But I bet you 80%, 70% at least of the people that were in front of him when he was speaking, when they were talking about all his deals, you couldn't understand a word he was saying. If you were right in front of him, he was speaking toward the White House, and the people were standing right there at the Washington Monument where you were straight in front of them. You could hear them. But anybody 20 degrees either side of that thing, and there was probably a 180-degree circle around him, they couldn't hear anything. You couldn't understand a word he was saying. You could not understand a word he was saying. It was echoing back and forth. Most of the people didn't hear what he said. I was back in the middle, And then he said, you know, going down to the Capitol and protest, I can't exactly what his words were. I left a little bit early so I could get out ahead of the crowd because the crowd was there. But there was a lot of stuff going on there that if you weren't down there, you didn't know it. So it was. I couldn't get out of that city fast enough. I had just a feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, all these logistics with sound and stuff. You know, if we had a trustworthy news agencies, you could have listened to it on your cell phone. You know what I mean?
Because they weren't down there. People don't realize it. There was no big camera crew trucks down there. They weren't there.
I'm just saying, if we had a good news media.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have
and I'm
to
telling
worry.
You, down in Washington, D.C. on the 6th, they were not there.
Yeah.
You know, there was no big NBC or CBS or CNBC trucks. They weren't there. They were not there.
Well, you know what they said, the revolution will not be televised. And it wasn't, basically.
Yeah.
And
it was a weird time down there. And we got lost in the city and got in a bad section of town, but we finally got out and got in our van and got the hell out of Dodge.
But your heart was pounding. Well, I'll tell you, I had a similar situation when we went down to the Malheur Refuge, me and another NLA member, Tanner. And the night before Lavoy Finicum got shot, we were in the hotel, and the FBI was coming in to the hotel where we were, which was full of militia guys, you know, and they were speaking. They were speaking to the heads of these militias, and I forget the main guy they were talking to. And they were coming in and out, and the state police were coming in and out. And Tanner and I were sitting there on the edge of the butt, and we had already been through like 2 or 3 days of craziness. It didn't feel right. You knew something was going on that was not right. And we didn't even have to talk. He looked at me. I looked at him. And we went, let's get the hell out of here. You could feel it. There was just this horrible heaviness in the air, just like you're describing. And I knew I had to get out of there. It was bad. You know, I don't know if it's a sixth sense, but him and I both came to the same conclusion almost at the same exact second. And there wasn't hardly any discussion. And I said, it was like, you think what I'm thinking? Yeah, let's get the hell out of here. That's how our conversation went. And we could not get our bags packed fast enough. And we're driving back, and the next day we hear that they shot Lavoy Finicum on the road. You know, and that was a put-up deal. I don't know if you know how much about that.
I watched the videos.
It was bad. It was really bad. So, and that's not done. That's going to come out too in all this. You're gonna hear her lawsuit has just started to be heard. I think it was this week. Maybe it's next week. All this stuff is coming to a head at the same time. So just keep your eyes peeled, because especially if you know things, you saw things back then.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that didn't make sense, that you didn't understand what's going to happen, is you're going to go, oh, I get it. You're going to have that moment. You know what I mean? So I would pay attention.
Yeah. When I got back, like I said, I sat down and I just, before I listened to any radio, TV or whatever like that, before I read anything, I sat down and I wrote everything I could remember down there. And that was my point at the time when I write that thing. I says, I have no idea what this is, but hopefully it's going to bunch of dots that people can start putting together. And that was what I wrote on January 7th.
That's what you're supposed to do. We tell people when you're a court washer, you go to a trial or whatever, or anytime you see anything, you sit right down and you write it in an affidavit form, your story in your own words.
Mm-hmm.
That's very powerful. And I mean, I don't know how you wrote it, but you should look at it. And at some point, you might want to turn it into an affidavit. And actually, you know, you may want to give it to some of these different. You know, I mean, NLA might be able to use it in one of our lawsuits as an affidavit. You know, as testimony as to what happened. I mean, I don't know what you wrote, but I'd love to see it. You know what I mean?
Because I can send it over to you guys. It's emails.
Yeah, there could be some valuable stuff in there that actually collaborate with somebody else's saying, and that's what's important. You know, an affidavit, they hate them because they're very powerful. You know, they're considered truth. But anyway, That's interesting. See, you know, think send that to Jan or somebody, because we might be able to use that, and maybe we'll have you put it in affidavit form after we read it. You know, what you actually have in there that maybe we could, and even the Trump team might want that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it might be more valuable than you think it is.
Yeah, well, I can do that. I wrote it right in there. That's, you know, this before I take any information from anybody, I want to write it down. So
right, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's how you do it, and it's before you forget too. You know what I mean?
Right.
So anyway, I got a couple other people I want to go. John, it's been good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next.
Gerard, I've got about 3 questions for you if you want them.
I'll try. We'll see how up I am tonight.
You ready?
Yes, go ahead. Shoot.
Okay. I hope you can hear me because I can just barely hear you. First question says, I thank you for publishing this book. And what he means is meet your straw man and whatever you want to know so that those who want to be educated can be educated. After reading the section on debt, I was wondering if I can get some legal advice about student loan debt, namely educational and private loans. Can I use the same validation/verification letter that is used for collection agencies for medical bills to be used for the same collection agencies for student loan debt?
Okay, as far as student loan debt goes, I think that's a government backed loan, and so it's kind of like an FHA loan on a house. If you default, the government pays it back to the bank, so it's guaranteed in a certain sense. And look, any loan that you gave that they charge you interest for, and they claim they give you this money, and they never actually gave you the money, those things are all valid. I don't care what kind of loan it is. In other words, they went to the window, they didn't have the money, and they printed the money based on your signature on the loan. So that was a fraud right there. So, yeah, you can use those same arguments on a student debt loan, I'm pretty sure, because it's usury, you know. I mean, technically speaking, that is your money. That's our money. And I mean, yeah, you got to pay it back, but they should not be making interest on you. You know, that's the part that's bad about it. Plus, they never really gave you any money at all. It was just a journal entry. And so, you know, to make things legal and legal tender, like sometimes you see you have a contract and they make you put a dollar down because a transaction doesn't take place unless money's changed hands. Well, did money change hands really? When they didn't have any money in the account that they claimed they got it from, they just made a journal entry. There's a whole argument to that. But you better know what you're talking about before you go in there with that. That's the problem. A lot of people don't understand all the smoke and mirrors that they put in there. And so, yeah, you can make that claim, but you better be able to defend it, and you better know everything about it. And so if you got some good paperwork that lays it out, and I think we have some stuff that lays it out pretty good, you know, then you can do it, you know. But you can't use a lawyer, because they're an officer of the court, and they'll screw you up, and the judge will give him that sign, and you won't prevail. I don't believe you'll prevail if you go in with a lawyer, you know, unless you can get somebody like Brent, and even Brent, they'll tie his hands if they can, you know what I mean? Because Brent is not a bar lawyer. You know, basically he's an officer of the court. So if that's, you know, you're like third on his list of who he's beholden to first. So anyway, we've had those discussions. All right, so my short answer is yes, you can use that particular paperwork that pertains to any other loan. But go ahead. What's the next one?
Okay, second question. Is there a National Liberty Alliance in the state of New Jersey?
That's a good question. I mean, there, if there's not, it's only because it didn't. There was at one time. Now I don't know if they're active or not. I haven't kept track of all that. I don't know who would know that. We should be able to go on the site and see who's in New Jersey, who's the coordinator and that. My instinct is yes, because we established them in every state. You know, especially Jersey. I can't imagine that there's nobody in Jersey that's not in National Liberty Alliance. I don't know. Where do we have the membership list, Jan? You know that, right? On the site. I think that's something that anybody can look up, right?
That's a good question.
Anyway, I'll let you know. I don't know right now. Maybe somebody can look it up and see while I'm talking, while I'm answering questions. I don't have to be distracted going to my computer. But I'm pretty sure that we have a list of all the states and the counties and everything. And I'm probably 99% sure that there's somebody in New Jersey. Now, there might not be a lot. There might only be, you know, one chapter or whatever. Because every county needs to do this. And we're certainly not in every county. But we did get established in every state, as far as I know. I don't think we had any states that we didn't get established in the beginning. I mean, sometimes we did two, three, and even four states that were close together, and we picked a central point, and we all got together, and the people from that state, they signed the papers and did their oaths and all that stuff to establish National Liberty Alliance in their state, common law, grand juries, and stuff. So there should be, but I don't know for sure. So if somebody can look that up while I'm talking, we'll get out before we're done. Next question.
Yeah, we did. You used to have that under state coordinators, and you could go there and find the hierarchy for any state. But I don't see it in our directory anymore. So let's move to the next question. Okay. This is a long one, Gerard, so bear with me. I called in with an inquiry about a traffic citation Thursday, October 20th, 22. I submitted the attached letter to the municipal clerk, who was to place it before the judge. The second letter sent to my home appeared to be answered by the clerk, who had no idea what was placed before her or how to answer any of my questions. It appears the judge never saw the letter. I was sent the second letter stating the amount and that out of courtesy they were setting another end date and stated the total amount owed. It was explained to me by Liberty Alliance that I needed to establish a common law court. I'm not familiar with this common law court process as I'm in the beginning stages of learning my constitutional rights. I will call in on Monday, today, 10/24/2022, to perhaps formulate the best way forward.
Well, John has paperwork that he's working on that he has written up for traffic court. I mean, we don't get involved a lot in traffic court, but it's a good place to practice your jurisdiction. You know, a lot of the stuff is the same as the other courts. You know, they don't have it, you know, and so he's got some pretty good paperwork that he's put on the site. I can't tell you exactly where that is, and he's not here. His computers aren't working, or I'm sure that he would direct you to it. You want to educate yourself, though, and I mean, that book, I think, Court Access and the Common Law, I think it's laid out in there. And John's got a new thing. He keeps a Coruanto in his back pocket for when they finally violate him, and then that kicks it up to the federal court. That's like the coup de grace. That's the trump card for them, if it gets that far. A lot of times when you hand in this paperwork that he writes, they don't want to answer it, and they don't answer it, and they'll default, and they just dismiss it because they can't answer it. So. Basically, that's how they get overwhelmed if you file the right paperwork. And so, I don't know on the site where it is. I mean, I haven't looked. I know that John's been working on it recently. So whether it's posted or not, I won't know. We'll have to get back to you next week. Hopefully, John's computer's working, and we can find out where that paperwork is. You know, I mean, go on the site yourself and look at I don't know what section it would be. There is teaching there on the anatomy of a court case and stuff like that. And you should maybe be able to find it yourself as far as I forget what's the paper that you come in with that basically challenges their jurisdiction and whether or not they got, you know, in personam jurisdiction or not, and they never really do. So I know there's a couple of papers on there that you can read that will clear that in your head. Of course, if you're looking for a preformed one, I don't know if John put it up there, but he did write one that you can use, and I don't know if it's up there yet, but if it's not, it probably will be in the next week or so. What were you going to say?
Okay, that's the last question that I had, Gerard. You're very low. Can you get closer to your mic?
My mic is in my mouth. I don't know if I can get
take a big bite.
Yeah. Maybe I should swallow. Chew and swallow. How's that? Better?
Yeah, that's better. That's the last question that I had, Gerard. I'm still looking for that traffic court stuff. I haven't found it yet.
Okay. Let's see. And we need to look for...
Gerard, why don't you try Atlanta?
Atlanta? What?
5156.
Okay. Michael from Michigan, it says.
No.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Okay, I see it. Yeah, Atlanta, you want me to open him up?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, Atlanta, what's your name and your... Well, we know you're from Georgia, so...
Yes, my name is Doreen.
Okay.
I spoke with you guys earlier in the week on Monday. On Thursday of last week, and you guys asked me to send in an email, so which I did, that you guys read. It was about the citation regarding traffic court, and I did send in my letter. Remember I read the letter to you guys last week, and you told me to call in on Monday, and I was like, okay, which is what I did, but you guys just read the email that I sent, not the letter, so you guys want me to go online, basically, and see if you have something posted regarding, that's what it was to me. I'm sorry.
I don't know if it's been posted. John's computer's been down for like 3 weeks. He's so far behind. That would have all been up there already. So he still doesn't. He's still waiting for the guy to come. He's had two or three guys there. I don't know why they can't get this computer stuff figured out. You know.
Okay.
So we are behind, and all I can say is, call back in next week Monday. Hopefully he'll have all that crap worked out. What'd you call? Who'd you talk to Thursday? What call did were you on Thursday?
I was on you guys. I was on a call with you guys. There was a lady there, and
she was on the discussion group, Gerard, and I was the one she was talking to.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Oh, I wasn't privy to that call, but.
So I wrote in the letter. I sent in the letter and whatnot. The clerk sent it back. I attached it to the email, but they sent me another one out. I have till the 27th, by the way, which is coming up in 3 days to answer the second one. So, like next week or the week after, will be too late to address this. And it was a test balloon for me in terms of what I sent to them. But yeah, it'd be nice to stick a finger in their eye and not have to pay.
Well, let's can somebody take her number now? What's your first name?
Doreen.
Let me see if I can get your number. I have it here, but it's going to be gone when I shut the program. So let's note her number, and then I'll talk to John, and if he has something that we can send her.
Gerard, I sent her my package from the ticket I beat back in 2018 that came from Robert Overhill.
Right. Well, I'm sure that's good as any. I mean, Robert.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you want to use that, feel free. Because look, they don't know what to do with that. I'm telling you right now. And most of the time, they default. They don't answer in the time that they, and that's how you beat them. Because look, it's a traffic ticket. They're going to get sick of it. They're going to say, "This is too much." You know, they want to lickety split, make their money, and go home. They don't want to mess with you. They don't want you to go to trial with anything, on anything, actually. But anyway, if you have the one from Robert over you, I would bet my life on that one, because Robert was very good at what he did, you know.
Okay.
And, you know,
all right.
Matter of fact, a lot of what we do, you know, some of that comes from him, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank all right.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Next one is Jim from PA. Go ahead, Jim. You've been...
Yeah, Gerard, Jim in PA.
Yes. What's up, Jim?
I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
My question is, what printer can I contact to have copies made of the common law handbook for jurors, sheriffs, bailiffs, and justices? It was copyrighted in 2014 by National Liberty Alliance.
That's a good question. I don't know who John used. He had trouble with the one printer, and he got somebody else now, so I don't know what to tell you on that. You can certainly open that booklet and copy it if you want to yourself. I mean, it's probably, how many pages is it, 20?
Yeah, it's more than that, but 48.
48, and it might, look on Amazon, because it might be for sale on Amazon. Some of the stuff up there, some of it's ours and some of it was stole from us, but it's on Amazon. It's like a top seller.
If I can get some printed, I would be glad to, because I don't think you're available at the website, National Liberty Alliance website. I would love to share them with NLA, and I would also use them for distribution. If I can get the actual booklet itself.
You should call John on his cell phone. Do you have his number?
Yeah, I have his number.
So call him and explain to him what you want to do, because he's right in the process of dealing with his printers now, and he might have some good advice for you as far as where to go for the best price, because that's what he's been doing.
Yeah. There is a PDF file available, Jim, that you can take to a printer, and they can print from that.
Like you could take it to Staples.
Yeah, or someplace cheaper.
Or a printer, right, I got you. So where's that PDF file, Jack?
It's under the handbooks. There's five or six listed there, and they're all PDF files that you can download.
Okay, so there...
I can look up the website for you, Jim, and send it to you if you want, or the link for it.
Yeah, I'll find it, Jan. Thanks. Okay. Let me give you a quick comment. Mm-hmm. I was also there January 6th, mm-hmm. Nobody recorded the thousands and thousands of families, seniors, and wheelchairs that were leaving when that trouble started at the Capitol steps. I was there. I was going into the Capitol heading towards that direction. When the trouble started, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were leaving. They didn't want to be part of that. And the also thing, I was supposed to be the backup cameraman for a guy, and I should have recorded that. However, I did neglected to do that. But the people that were down there on the steps, on the walls, I doubt very much if they were Trump supporters. They just didn't seem like the type of person that would support Donald Trump. There was just people there that didn't.
That's come out, and people have said that, and some of them were even identified as shills, paid rabble rousers, so to speak.
Yeah, and FBI people.
And FBI people too, right? That was
they were instigating. They were swearing and yelling, just. insanity at the security there. It was just I don't think they were Trump supporters. That was my comment. I just wanted to mention that because I was there. I should have recorded the thousands and thousands and thousands of people and families that were leaving when that trouble started.
Right, right. Well, they didn't. They never. The regular news media didn't really want to show you the size of the crowd that was there. You know, they were trying to hide it. Plus, you know, they didn't want to give Trump any more credibility. You know.
I regret not. I had the camera in my hand. I was trying to chase after the guy that was. He's a jogger, and you know, he wanted me to keep up with him. I told him, "You're gonna have to get somebody a little bit younger than myself to, if you want to keep up with you." But there was I should have recorded the thousands and thousands of people that were leaving when that trouble started. And the people that were there, I just don't think they were Trump supporters. But anyways, like that, Gerard, I'll yield.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim.
Good night.
Good night. Let me see if I can get this. Oh, it's going from the bottom. Jeez. Hey, if I knock somebody out, get back in, because the stupid thing picked from the bottom of the list instead of the top.
Hey, Gerard, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to ask you real quick. Sometime back, I heard you all mention I guess it would be a common law version of a nonprofit organization, which is better than having a 501c3. I just want to know what's the kind of organization you all mentioned. Was it 5-something?
Well, they have, you know, 501c is specific too, and it puts you into their game, so to speak.
Right.
I know that John uses common law trust a lot. You know that's much much safer, and there's different kinds of trust, even trust that are not common law. There's trust that won't tell you doesn't reveal the name of the trustee. So those are much safer than a 501 or whatever. And I don't know what the name. There's one that's absolutely tax exempt, and I don't remember. You're going to have to talk to John about that one. He's going to put a book out on that stuff eventually. If we can ever get caught up, you know, because I know that's something that a lot of people want to know, and a lot of people should be doing. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm looking to alter my nonprofit youth organization at some time. To change it from a 501c3 to that, which is, you know, what you
want. I'm pretty sure that that's going to be a trust, but, you know, I don't know. We'll talk to John about that. Okay?
Okay, I'll ask next time when he's on the phone.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot, Robbie. We'll
talk to you next time.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know who I knocked out before, but we're done on the queue. So if anybody that got knocked out wants to get in, now's the time, because we're going to close up here in a minute. It looks like we got only, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. And somebody just came back in. Was that Michael from Michigan? Let me unmute you. Hey, did you just raise your
hand?
Can you hear
me?
Yeah.
That's really an unsteady program we have there, isn't it, Gerard?
Yeah.
I think I kicked somebody out.
I don't know. I hate it. I can't. It seems like it's always changing. But
yeah,
hit next question, and you'd think the top guy would go away, but the bottom guy went away. So anyway.
Well, I was just sitting and listening, and I heard John, or fellow patriot from Michigan, come on board, and I kind of misplaced his number. And if John is still on the program, I'd like to have him call me if he could. So
okay.
if he's listening, but
he had computer problems.
Pardon me?
He had computer problems tonight.
Well, actually, I'm speaking of John from Michigan.
Oh, John from Michigan. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So I just wanted to shout out to John if because I.
Okay, John from Michigan. Did you hear that? Michael from Michigan wants you to call him, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
very
and,
good.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Other than that, just enjoyed the conversation and actually enjoyed John's segment and the previous caller before this last gal about actually had being boots on the ground at January 6th.
That's always interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
And you know. Well. Yeah. Going to be interesting to see where it all ends up. I'll tell you that for sure.
Well, other than that, George, I'd just like to mention that I'm totally intrigued in Bonds for the Wind, and I think that that is a simplistic way of people being able to enter their
absolute
claims against the against the mafia. Yeah.
So don't forget, you got their oath and their bond, but they're also supposed to put out a financial statement, and a lot of times they don't, and that's their downfall. So request their financial statement
along with the bond.
You got the bond, the oath, and then the financial statement, which a lot of times they never do it. And if they don't do that, guess what? They're not in office. They're not in compliance. That's a really easy one to take them out. So that's
okay,
the third leg of the stool there that we didn't know about in the beginning.
Right. So just one more comment, Gerard.
Uh-huh.
Is every public servant lawfully supposed to be bonded?
Yes. Actually, they under one form or another. Like sometimes they depending on what they are. Like the lower ones, they can come under a blanket bond, but like a sheriff, he has to have his own bond and financial statement. You know what I mean?
But if it was a blanket bond, wouldn't that blanket bond supposed to be exposed to if requested?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right.
No, they're under that bond, and so if you request it, they have to. Give you the name of the insurance company that's underwriting and everything else, just like it was a regular bond. The only thing is that they're not like your lower employees, because they are lower employees and they have less authority. You know, they have less opportunity to screw up in big bucks, so to speak. So they're being insured by the municipality under the blanket bond. And I don't know if those lower guys that are under the blanket bond even need to do a financial disclosure or not. But you know, that's what the bond company goes after. They go after your assets. If they got to collect on a bond, they're going to expect you to pay it. So either you got to have, like I used to carry an umbrella policy on top of my autos and that for liability. Mm-hmm. And something like that, like let's say I was a public official and somebody going to sue me, that umbrella policy would cover me. I used to carry $1 million umbrella policy, which I don't have anymore, but that's what I used to do. So that's how that stuff works. Okay?
All right. Okay, yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Yeah, have a good night. I think that's everybody. That's it. Well, if we have no more, I'm going to count 3, 2, 1, get ready, go. We're going to close the meeting out. Thank you, everybody. And
all right, good night. Hopefully
by next week, we'll have all our technical difficulties worked out. I'm sorry that, we didn't, I really didn't have a program tonight. And John and I went to that Wake Up America tour for 2 days. And it was a long ride, and we had to leave at 2 in the morning and blah, blah, blah. I feel like I got jet lag. I'm too old for this. I'm not used to this,
All right, so, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, have a good night, and we'll see everybody later. Let's stop the recording here if we would. I don't see that button.